There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Talking Steelers trade deadline day. I got an interesting tweet from somebody who calls themselves Toy Called God.
Oh.
Toy Called God. I think he's in a heavy metal band. Is that the name of his band?
I don't know. I don't know how to decipher that. Band sounds about right.
I think it might be. And he could have been on the show, right? Because we're thinking about, provided we get, I think, written permission from these bands, of having people give us our music because our music is so bad right now. Is that right? So who's to say we wouldn't have called Toy Called God?
Maybe Toy Called God can call us for a song.
Well, the problem is that Toy Called God is unable to interact civilly. Just, you know, it's a disease out there among people. See, he writes, the Seahawks aren't trading their best offensive player when they're only one game back in their division with 9 games to go. You freaking clown. Stop trying to brain. You're ill-equipped. Is brain now a verb? I'm trying to brain. Is that something they people say nowadays? Am I trying to actively brain right now?
Yeah. Not maybe in a different context and qualification, but if I were you, would you go back to the block party there? I don't know. You love the block party. Why? Here's my thing about people on Twitter and that throw things out at us and the text line and on Twitter. Like, we are all fine having a good civil conversation and a good back and forth.
Right.
But when you throw names out there and you call people morons or idiots or just clowns.
Why so angry?
Come on, people.
It's fun. It's the trade deadline. It's football. We have Jason Lockenfora and a bunch of other people saying they're taking more and more calls about DK Metcalf. So should the Steelers call? What would it take? Am I making a prediction that they're going to get DK Metcalf? No. I don't know that he's their best offensive player. According to Lockenfora, Jackson Smith and Jigbus, their leading or their best receiver, their top receiver. Kenneth Walker's a pretty good player too, last I checked. Is he still their best offensive player? Maybe. We could have a civil conversation about that too, but that seems impossible. So I write back to him, yet another person unable to interact civilly. Instead speaks insultingly and angrily on what should be a fun topic. Also could argue that Metcalf's their third best offensive player, and he's going into the last year of his contract. Anyway, goodbye. In honor of the late Dikembe Mutombo, a little finger wag. Goodbye, Toy Called God. Bye. You could have been on the show. Instead, you're gone forever.
Call him blocked, apparently.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone forever. It's very sad, as a matter of fact. Let's go back to the lines because, you know, at the risk of insulting somebody or invoking anger, the Steelers do need a receiver, and there are people out there who are available. We think they're available. People calling about DK Metcalf. I mean, the other part of the Seahawks thing is that do we really take them seriously as a contender? And Metcalf going into the final year of his deal? Do we really not think the Niners are going to bounce back in that division? I kind of think they are. Are we discounting the fact that the Seahawks, I mean, I hate to insult Toy Called God, but they have lost 5 of their last 6 games, Toy Called God. 5 of their last 6, they appear to be imploding to me. So, you know, Call me crazy, but I think it's possible to get DK Metcalf from them. Then there's Mike Williams, there's Tyler Boyd, there's Adam Thielen, there's Darius Slayton, there's defensive linemen. Some people out there may prefer a defensive lineman, especially when you see a name like Chase Young. The numbers really aren't there. I haven't broken down the film. I'm sure Toy Called God has. Maybe he could tell you, since I blocked him, about Chase Young's individual snaps this year. Or Calais Campbell, who I have seen a little bit of, and he's just Calais Campbell every single year, right? Just a destructive guy out there. Wouldn't that be interesting? Especially if you're of the opinion, like many, that Ogunjobi's not having a great year, Benton's up and down, and there's no depth whatsoever, and they're getting run on by people you've never heard of, by teams that can't run on anybody else, like the Giants and the Cowboys. I would consider that a major concern going into the second half of the season. Maybe Toy Called God wouldn't. Let's go to the lines.
Let's go to our buddy Seth in Long Island.
What's up, man?
Hey, good morning, gents. Hope it goes well. Couple things. I agree 100% with DK Metcalf. If we could get him second, third, definitely with the familiarity with Russell, that would be a fantastic get. The defensive line, yes, you think Chase Young would be a great acquisition for them. And the only other point or question I have for you guys is, since you're closer to the situation than I am in Pittsburgh, why did the Steelers have a reunion with Juju Smith-Schuster? I always wondered that when he was out there. So thanks again, man.
Well, to me, it's clear they think that he's not the guy he was, and I tend to agree with that. I think that Juju, for his age, is just a guy who, because of the way he played, which is to be respected, is like 8 years older in NFL years than he really is. And then when you actually look at the season he's having, everybody talks about the game against New Orleans when he had 8 or 7 catches for 130 yards. Do you want to hear his other games this year? 0 for 0, 0 for 0, 0 for 0, 0 for 0, and 2 for 17 yards. So let's not get too crazy here on Juju, if you don't mind. Limits.
Yeah, I was not a somebody that really wanted Juju to come back. It was not the biggest proponent of the offense in Kansas City. And again, there's a reason why New England got rid of him. He can have moments in Kansas City, sure, but he's not a consistent wide receiver anymore.
No, we've had people certainly on the station advocating for him, but the last time he was any good was 2 years ago in Kansas City's offense. In Kansas City's offense. Last year, he was just awful. 11 games, 29 catches for a 9-yard average. At some point in his career, Juju became late-stage Hines Ward. I mean, those numbers are for average per catch, and I'm not sure it's entirely his fault. Like in 2020 here, he was actually good. He had 97 catches, but for only 831 yards. That's 8.6 yards a catch. Do you know how bad that is? That's literally late-stage Hines Ward. That's nothing. And then last year, he was at 9 yards a catch. Let me go back and look just to prove that. I mean, if you're down under 9 yards a catch, you're not just a possession receiver. You're like, I don't know what the word is. I can't think of a word.
Could I throw out a rumor from our friend Pony that he tweeted out?
Of course you can. Yes.
Pony from a couple hours ago tweeted, rumor, the Steelers will call the Steelers one more time today about DK Metcalf.
Steelers will call the Seahawks, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Steelers will call the Seahawks about Metcalf, with a possible package being a 2025 second round pick and a 2026 fourth round pick.
Yeah, I'd do it in a second. Hines Ward in his last season here, and you remember that, and I'm the biggest Hines Ward fan maybe that there's ever been. He could barely walk, and he averaged 8.3 yards per catch. They had to give him a little pitch behind the line of scrimmage to technically give him his 1,000th catch. Juju is right around there these days at like 8.6. So, yeah, let's not get too crazy about that. What did you just say? Oh, the package for Metcalf, a second and a fourth. I would
second and a fourth and 26.
In a second. I mean, again, the big complication here would be paying him into the future if you also have to pay Pickens.
Because you're talking about two receivers at 25 plus.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a lot.
It's not unprecedented. Like, people pay receivers.
No, Philadelphia. I mean,
Philadelphia
it would basically
is
be
one,
their plan.
Miami's another.
Yeah. But I mean, look at Miami right now. And I know their quarterback's banged up.
Well, their quarterback's banged up. So is everybody else.
Why is Jalen Waddle not on the market?
I don't know that the reason that Miami is where they are is because they're paying two receivers. Jalen Waddle? I don't know. Would Miami want to trade one of their receivers at the last minute?
They did just pay Waddle, which is probably why they would have no consideration as to moving him. But, I mean, you have to consider, if you're Miami, how long is Tua, like, honestly, realistically, going to be in the NFL? Like, that has to be a significant concern for Miami. Because one more concussion, and I know Tua has been very bullish about coming back, not wearing a Guardian cap, and being healthy and playing football as long as possible, but that's a significant concern.
They're a dangerous team with Tua.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Unless they play somewhere cold in January.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of teams probably lose in Kansas City in January. Miami's a dangerous team. But so are a lot of teams with their starting quarterback, and everything changes when that guy's out. And he's out more than most, unfortunately. They're paying Tyreek Hill 30 and Jalen Waddle 28.25. So might one of them just pop up today? Would that be worth a call? Just a little call.
And Waddle hasn't had a great year, but albeit because they've had no quarterback throwing him the ball.
And that's just a question. Would it be worth a call? So I don't want people like Toy Called God to get offended by that and become very angry and start playing heavy metal in his garage. I don't want that to happen.
He's looking for a toy for the Steelers wide receiver room.
He could have been on the show. Maybe he still can be. Toy Called God, if you want to reach out to Limits, and if you have a song for the show, we'll certainly entertain it. Won't we, Limits?
Yes, maybe Toy Called God can tweet at me.
Yes, maybe he could ask politely or interact civilly. That would be a big step in Toy Called God's life. Let's get back to the phones, please. Go ahead.
All right, we have Paul in Pittsburgh who wants to talk about Adam Thielen.
What's up, Paul?
How you guys doing today? Yeah, I want to talk about Adam Thielen. He's a guy that's played with Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs. He's a red zone killer. His season's 9, 10, and 14 touchdowns. You know, the Steelers have had their red zone issues this year. I think you sign him, you know, if you have to re-sign him, you sign him cheap because he wants to win. And then when he gets off his contract, these young guys we have to sign, like, you know, Joey Porter, some of these offensive linemen, and potentially Najee, you know, you still have the cap room to do so.
I'm with you, Paul, from Pittsburgh, and I have a treat for you. Are you still there?
I am.
We're going to play for you. We've played this a couple times. Patrick Peterson. Last I checked, he was a pretty good football player. He was given a choice by Pony of a couple different receivers. I don't know exactly which ones Pony included.
I was listening to that as well.
Oh, you've already heard this.
I'm a big listener. I have.
We appreciate that.
I just don't think DK gives you anything different than George Pickens gives you. He's an over-the-top guy. You know, he doesn't really – he does go over the middle, but what does –
Well, wait a second here. Wait a second, Paul from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I'm the biggest Adam Thielen fan there is, but if you're giving me a choice of Adam Thielen or DK Metcalf, I'm taking Metcalf every day of the week. You're taking Thielen over him?
I'm saying we need a guy that's going to be a red zone threat, you know, that can run this dirty slant. You know, if you've seen Russell Wilson when he played with Doug Baldwin, you know.
Have you seen Russell Wilson when he played with DK Metcalf and he was catching double-digit touchdowns? I mean, I hear you.
What do you get out of it?
Touchdowns.
What does Pickens and DK give you? Say to Thielen. Thielen has a season of 14 touchdowns.
I like Thielen. Now that was 6 years ago. Yeah, but he did catch 100 balls. Don't get me wrong. Like, Thielen tops my list of most realistic targets here. But DK Metcalf changes the conversation for me. That's all.
What's up with Najee after this year? Or, you know, would you sign him? You know, you got to sign him if he's running the way he is. You know what I mean? You got to sign a quarterback.
Well,
you know, the last thing you want to do is get DK and then have money issues when these guys like Zach Frazier.
No, the money would be a real issue to sign two receivers. I'll grant you that for sure.
And then Thielen's off the books if you sign him. And I just think he gives you a red zone threat that we haven't had and needed. You know, think of the Jets game and some others, you know, Atlanta, you know, games where Boswell's, you know, practically won us those games.
Yeah, so, but you also had a different quarterback in those games who wasn't throwing for touchdowns.
I just think he's so much like Doug Baldwin, and I think it's a better option for Russell than, you know, DK. Just, I know they played together, but, you know, Pickens and DK to me are very similar. You know, their route trees are similar and things like that. So I just don't see it benefiting us as much as someone like Thielen. Plus, you know the Carolina Panthers are selling.
Yeah. Well, then the question becomes health. Thank you, Paul from Pittsburgh. We're on the same page as both liking Thielen, believe me. But there's a question of health. There's a hamstring injury involved here, and the dude hasn't played in like 6 weeks. But having said that, he's back at practice. If I was assured that this guy's going to be healthy, I like him a lot. It's just limits. I mean, DK Metcalf becomes available. That's a game changer.
Well, yeah, he moves the needle more than anybody that's even out there. I mean, if there was a percentage chance, though, you'd ask me, how likely do you think it is that DK Metcalf gets moved today? 10, 15%? I mean, it's less than a quarter. Adam Thielen, I think there's a 75, 80% chance gets moved today, unless people have problems with the health.
Here's what Adam Schefter said 2 days ago. The Steelers were in the process of trying to get a deal done for Christian Kirk before he got hurt. So he may have been headed to Pittsburgh before he broke his collarbone. They've been making calls, checking on any and all available wide receivers before Tuesday's 4 p.m. deadline, including Mike Williams and Adam Thielen. The Steelers will continue pushing in an attempt to improve by the deadline, but they are far from the only team looking to better themselves for the second half of the year. And then he goes into all kinds of people. And again, look at what's become of DeAndre Hopkins in the Chiefs offense, catching a couple of touchdowns. I mean, they've improved. The Ravens, Schefter says, are looking to add more players by Tuesday's deadline. Get in the game here. That's what I would do. Let's go. They brought in Deontay Johnson. He didn't do much the other day, but he's going to catch balls for them, don't you think?
Well, yeah, he's going to become not a focal point in that offense, but probably somebody who on third down makes a couple big catches. I'm sure against the Steelers he'll make a couple.
Hopefully he'll run one backwards. Can you imagine if Deontay took like a wide receiver screen at the Steelers 20 and ran 80 yards the other way for a safety?
He did what Jalen Waddle did in that reverse against Buffalo, right? And he ran backwards for like 24 yards.
What Jim Marshall did all those years ago.
Yeah, pretty bad. He's what? Deontay, probably their fourth best option behind Zay Flowers, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, and then Johnson, likely?
Yeah. Andrews is a little bit down, but yeah. I mean, he adds a weapon. He's good. Deontay Johnson's a good football player.
But that's the point. Like, their weapons are significantly better than what the Steelers have weapon-wise on offense. And why you have to add somebody else. And it's just really an embarrassment of riches for Baltimore. I know their wide receiver room isn't that good, but when you look at running back, tight end, and number one wide receiver, they're up there with just about as good as anyone.
Yeah, their offense is ridiculous right now. Now, the Steelers' offense has taken a dramatic turn for the better. So I'm with you. Augment it and then see where we go here. And by the way, the second half of the schedule is better teams all the way around, but I'm not sure it's significantly better defenses. Like, some of the Ravens' defense has not been impressive. Neither has the Bengals, and that's four of your games. I think it's the offenses that the Steelers are facing. It's going to be a dramatic upgrade from what they've seen so far. So then the question becomes, do you add a defender of some sort? And I think that's a very intriguing question.
Depth-wise, yeah. I think you have to.
Something up front, something in the back end in your secondary.
I think you probably add somebody up front first because you're getting Cam Sutton back. It's basically like a trade acquisition.
That's true. And it's a wonderful point by you. And let's hope Cam Sutton, you know, settles back in. A lot has happened with that guy since he left Pittsburgh. So is he just going to settle right back in and be a good player again? That's the hope.
And you're going to get Corey Trice back off IR.
Yeah. And Beanie has taken a large step forward. Beanie might have the biggest play of the whole year. 412-928-9370. I was asked in my mailbag today, incidentally.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Having said all this, you know, you only make a significant deal today if you believe you have a chance. I happen to believe the Steelers do have a chance. Again, that's not a prediction. In the prediction game, I think the Ravens are still going to win this division, but even that wouldn't mean the Steelers don't have a chance. I think they do. I think the fifth seed is probably going to play in Houston in the first round, and I think the Steelers could win that game. Yes, they could win a playoff game. More to the point, though, I mean, if they're healthy, they have a real quarterback suddenly. Plus the best defensive player in all of football. Why wouldn't they have a chance? That doesn't make sense to me. There's a difference between making predictions and saying the Steelers have a legitimate chance in the AFC. If they're healthy, they would. I don't think that's some crazy kind of hot take. If they're healthy, they'd have a chance to beat people in the AFC. It's as simple as that. Back to the lines limits as we head for a 4 p.m. trade deadline. Would you rather have a defensive player up front or maybe some other position? Jerry Dulac suggesting that the Steelers may be looking at other positions besides wide receiver, maybe instead of wide receiver. They like the production they're getting from Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin, or at least like their trajectory. All that's on the table at 412-928-9370. DK Metcalf might be too. Teams reportedly calling about him. Should the Steelers be one of them, and what would it take? Limits?
Here is Dave in the South Hills.
Hey, Joe.
What's up?
Hey, actually, a little off topic of wide receiver. I'm not really concerned about that. I'm looking positive towards the second half playing the stronger teams because, you know, the Steelers in the past playing the teams that they could just kick the crap out with the JV team, they lose to all the time. So, hey, I think as long as we stay healthy, I think the second half is looking good.
Thank you, sir. They don't lose to bad teams all the time. There's a Tomlin bad loss, you know, usually, but they usually beat bad teams.
And they got the bad loss out of the way with the Colts. At least that's what we think.
I don't think that was a horrible loss. I think the Colts are a very respectable team.
Okay, is Dallas the bad loss then? Because they have Dak Prescott probably going on IR and he's going to miss at least 4 weeks.
No, we know what kind of loss these are. Their loss is at the Raiders. They're losing at home to the 2-10 Cardinals and the 2-10 Patriots. Losses like that you'll get.
I'd put the Colts in that category. I don't think the Colts are that good. They're better with Joe Flacco, but Anthony Richardson.
You'd put them in the category of a 2-10 team?
Not completely, but in terms of a disappointing Tomlin loss, I would. Now, there are different levels of disappointing Tomlin losses, obviously. I mean, I was at that game against New England when they lost. Just a despicable loss. Maybe that's a little bit too strong of a word, but just a horrendous loss. And Arizona, too. But, I mean, I still think that the Colts are not going to make the playoffs. They're just a fringe team.
Yeah.
Should win that game, though. I know you went down 17-0.
Yeah, they're a middle-of-the-road team. I mean, they lost by 2 to Houston, beat Chicago, beat the Steelers, lost by 3 to Jacksonville, beat Tennessee, beat Miami, lost by 3 to Houston, and lost by 1 score to Minnesota. It's just, I think they're a pretty competitive team. But, yes, they're sitting here at 4-5, and now they have the Bills coming to town.
They beat terrible Tennessee and they beat Miami without a quarterback. So, I mean, a lot of their losses are against teams that really are not either full strength or not good.
Yeah, I don't put the Colts in a category like that. They were 9-8 last year. They're probably going to be about 8-9, 9-8 this year. That's not where I put when people talk about these horrible Tomlin losses. They're teams way worse than Indy, but we can agree to disagree. Limits on that. What would be your first question for Tomlin today?
Ooh, that's a good question. First, I'd want to know the availability of Herbig and Zach Frazier, and I think he's going to address that just right away in terms of injuries. I would also want to know, because somebody is probably going to ask, Mike, any calls going out today? Any interest? Because remember when that was always asked about Ayuk? Is it a little too early on the West Coast? Remember that response?
Yes.
Any fun calls going out today, Mike?
At least to get a good quote. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You'll get a good quote from Tomlin on that. And maybe a little bit of a laugh. I'm sure he'll be laughing a little bit on that. 50-minute mark on the Fan. We're coming up on, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. And yes, hopefully we hear confirmation that Zach Frazier, Nick Herbig are beyond the leave a light on for them.
Ideally. Right? Yeah, I mean, the by all accounts, at least by what I go off my buddy Nick Farabaugh, what he put out there from Penn Live, and he said 2 weeks ago that his sources were indicating that both guys will be back after the bye week.
You said you had some choice clips from Steelers assistant coaches. Why don't we listen to a couple of those, City Limits, as we get ready for Mike Tomlin and then Brian Batko to visit after the Tomlin news conference for the whole rest of the show. Batko will be here.
Yeah, so Roman Wilson is obviously such a huge question mark this entire year. So Azani, the wide receivers coach, was asked about Roman Wilson, and once again, it's hard for Roman Wilson to get up to speed. It's a common message we've heard from Tomlin.
It's very challenging. It's challenging for anybody, especially a rookie that's never played in the NFL. So, you know, that's why in practice, we got to push them, and you know, because it's not going to get easier on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. So it's very challenging, and that's part of my job is to throw him in situations out there that are uncomfortable for him. You know, I throw him at a position he's never played out there on purpose, just to show him that hey, this could happen in the game where you got to back up all three positions and you know whatever the case may be. So yeah, we're continuing to monitoring that, and what he can handle, what he can't when he comes back is going to be part of our job as well.
Yeah, this has been one of the stranger stories of the year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and Zach Azani saying I have to throw him out there in different ways and different positions and different roles. Is he talking about like practice reps? I mean, obviously he's not getting any game reps. It's just weird to me. Well, you draft this guy pretty highly, think a lot of him. He had, 14 touchdowns at Michigan last year, and he can't even see the field. I know he's hurt now, but still.
Yeah, Tomlin just appears to have been trying to send messages to this guy from as far back as I can remember, and he might be right, but man, that would be disappointing if he were a guy that needed messages to be sent to practice maybe the way they want him to practice and things like that. I don't know what's going on. I just think it's been very cryptic and very odd what's happening. Maybe it's just a case of a guy being hurt, but it sure sounds from some of the comments from his coaches that it's a little bit more than that. Am I crazy?
No. I mean, when he came back from the injury, at least at first, the first hamstring injury, it seemed like Wilson was, I mean, he was practicing for 2 weeks. He was a healthy scratch. Whether that's learning the playbook, I don't know. Maybe being meshed into the playbook a little bit better at practice was a problem. But there's something that we're missing here, Joe. There's something that we don't know regarding Roman Wilson that's in-house that nobody is saying that is caused, I don't know if it's tension between Wilson and Tomlin, Azani and Wilson, whatever it might be. Something is not right here that we're not sure about.
What do you got?
Tom Arth was asked about Russell Wilson pushing the ball downfield and how that can help the
offense.
Tell
us who he is, please.
Tom Arth,
quarterback guy.
That's correct, quarterback coach.
Yeah, I think Russ has played very well. And you know, you talk about pushing the ball down the field. I think that's been a strength of Russ's throughout his career, and certainly has been that the first couple of weeks. I think we felt that, and the opportunities that our guys have gotten down the field to make plays. Russ is giving them those opportunities, and they've made the plays. So it's been a big plus for us.
Well, that was exciting. I'm glad that Tom Arth has weighed in on Russell Wilson.
He's not the most excitable guy, but what that does kind of sound like to me is Justin Fields wasn't able to push the ball down the field, at least consistently and accurately, and he likes just that added weapon, added dimension of Russell Wilson throwing up the moon balls, 50-50 balls with enough loft on it to give your guy a chance.
Yeah, that's been clear. Is the obvious difference there in getting the ball downfield. I remember Collinsworth was all over that in Russell Wilson's first game after the slow start. Just the touch he can put on the ball. Everything we've talked about from recognizing things at the line of scrimmage, knowing where you're going to go, sometimes before the ball is snapped or right after, the ability to read a defense, and then the ability to deliver the ball with a little bit of loft, a little bit of touch. He's just a better passer, and he's a veteran quarterback. Somebody else asked me in the mailbag today if it took – what if it took Justin Fields? What if somebody else has become quite enamored with Justin Fields based on those six games and wanted to trade for him? Would you be open to that if you were the Steelers?
Not really. At this point, I'd want to keep it the same because, like, let's say Russell Wilson, who still is, what, 35, 36 years old, gets hurt.
Yeah.
I would want the assurance of having Justin Fields, who's already played six games, rather than Kyle Allen.
Yeah, I would like to have that insurance too. But, man, what if Seattle was enamored with him? Wouldn't that be interesting?
If I was offered a second-round pick for Justin Fields, I'd do it. But the Steelers are not going to be offered that.
No, they're not going to be. But is he off-limits? City limits? No, not for me, because I don't think he's their quarterback of the future. People talk of him, and I think he did a pretty good job in there, and he has some very good attributes. They speak of him like he's a 17-year-old straight out of high school. This dude has now played like more than three seasons in the NFL.
Yeah, and they have to nurture him at the quarterback position.
Is he suddenly going to become a good passer? What are we talking about here? I don't think so, but maybe he'll surprise me.
Finally, we have Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach, giving a little bit of praise, but also some critiques of Broderick Jones.
Broderick's been awesome. I mean, his attitude, he's nothing but listening. He just got to learn. He's got to focus. You know, I think he's just got to focus each and every play. He plays a lot of good plays. You watch him, and it's like, wow, he does some really good things. And I think it's just more him just, again, young. Hasn't played a whole NFL season. He's 23 years old. He's going to grow. But the thing that Broderick is a confident kid. He plays hard. He loves the game. You just got to continue learning. We just got to get him to learn it faster.
Well, he is legitimately still very, very, what is he, 21? Broderick Jones?
About, I think, 22, 23, but he is on the younger side.
Yeah. And didn't have a lot of college experience on top of that.
No.
So that's going to be very, very interesting in the offseason. Do you think there's any chance they move Fatanu to guard, keep Jones at right tackle, and re-sign Dan Moore?
No, I don't.
On his way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I mean, they seemingly love Dan Moore. That's why they keep him there. But somebody's going to pay Dan Moore a lot of money, and I don't think the Steelers want to do it when they drafted two bookend tackles in back-to-back years.
Let's see how the Dan Moore season plays out here. Why don't we see how the season plays out? So far he's been good this year. He's also given up some pressures. I mean, he's not an elite left tackle, but I would say he's above average right now.
Yeah. He's been better than expectations.
Yeah, and that's after multiple years of being not very good. So is somebody going to break the bank for him? Maybe they will. Is there any chance the Steelers could re-sign him? They seem to love him. I can't imagine there's a team out there that loves Dan Moore more than the Steelers. That's unimaginable. So would they throw some money at him and move Fatanu to guard with James Daniels leaving?
Every year my dad predicts Dan Moore to make the Pro Bowl every single season. And I keep telling him it's not going to happen. Maybe this is the year.
Could be. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 79 degrees today. With sunny skies, we have the Mike Tomlin News Conference coming up next as the Steelers prepare for the Commanders. And who would have thought that these two teams would be a combined 13-4 going into this game? This is now a high-profile game this weekend. Limits.
I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see Jaden Daniels against the Steelers defense. And I was thinking about going to this game. Ticket prices are about $300. So I don't think it's happening.
I think you should go to this game.
You have $300 lying around?
Yes, I do. I'm going to treat you to this game. No, I'm not. That's too expensive.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You don't want to know what we paid for to go to the Rams game last year.
How much?
Over $300, I'll say that.
Not including the flight and the hotel,
Not including the flight and the hotel.
But you saw a good game.
Great game. They won. It was all worth it.
You saw T.J. Watt make a game-turning play.
Yeah.
Did Steelers fans take over that stadium?
Oh, yeah. Probably 70%.
That's part of the fun, isn't it?
Oh, it was exciting. I wanted to see SoFi so badly. And we went to the USC-Utah the day before that. Incredible trip.
Somebody asked me today, in fact, it was the last question in the mailbag, James Cuccinelli, I think his name is, or Cuccinelli, perhaps. Can we start a new road game tradition, hashtag sing renegade on the road, for Steeler fans at road games, that we sing renegade in the fourth quarter? Just an idea. Did that happen where you were? Is that a good idea? Your thoughts on this, Limits, as a traveling Steeler fan?
It did not happen. I don't think that's something that you can have happen. Like, renegade is not an easy song to just sing, you know, like
a cappella, you mean?
I guess, yeah, but there are a lot of other, like, Sweet Caroline is a lot easier to sing just in a group of fans that could just start it up in a section compared to Renegade.
Yeah, you might have some logistical problems, you're right, or some audio problems, I should say.
They're not going to play it at opposing venues.
Well, certainly not. No, it would have to be organic. It would have to be just the fans singing together.
I think the soccer stadium in San Diego once played it, trying to troll the Steeler fans, and they backfired completely on
them. I was there at that game. I don't remember. Still the most incredible venue I've ever watched. I can't believe that I watched an NFL primetime game in the year 2020, was it?
I think it was like 2018.
19?
Duck Hodges was on the team.
That's right. Well, that was his first start.
Yeah.
In a high school soccer stadium is really what it was. It was unbelievable. And my seats were like, I don't know, 20 rows up, it felt like. 50 rows up.
Didn't it hold like 15,000?
It was incredible, man. It was great. I loved it. I'll always remember that game. Devin Bush was unbelievable in that game. You remember? Duck Hodges was good. Michael Vick was up in the press box. I talked to him for a little while. It was absolutely incredulent. And they had great, I remember the tacos they served that night were fabulous. That was a memorable night. Never happen again. You'll never see it. Well, I shouldn't say never. We have a Major League Baseball team that's going to play at a minor league park in Sacramento, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
That should be fun.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.